Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Sacrament Meeting in this, the Heather Ridge 6th Ward. I'm Bishop Misbach, and I'm pleased to conduct today's services and very happy to have you with us. By way of announcement, I just wanted to mention a couple of things before we get started. First of all, it's a new year and we have new Sunday school classes, so please be advised. Your class may have changed. Your teacher may have changed. The room you go in may have changed. So be attentive to that and do your best to make sure you get to the right classroom. I'm speaking to our youth classes here. Also, we've had quite a few changes of callings in the ward. We appreciate all those who have accepted new callings and give you a warm invitation to please come after church to be set apart for your new calling. So if you've been sustained, you don't need an appointment. You can just come over by the bishop's office after our meetings, and we would love to set you apart for your new calling. It has been an eventful week in our ward. For many of you attended a couple of funerals that we had, and they were wonderful meetings, and I want to just extend my gratitude to all of you who did so much to make these special events occur. All the behind-the-scenes work, the food, the preparation, setup, everything. I am very grateful to all that has been done, and the Bills and the Gilmans remain in our prayers. We will begin this meeting now by singing hymn number 264, Hark All Ye Nations, following which the invocation will be offered by Sister Tara Wagley.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that we're able to gather here together this Sabbath day to partake of the sacrament, to fill of thy spirit, and learn more of thee. We are grateful that Sister Buman was able to make it home from her mission safely and are excited to hear from her. We ask thee to please bless her and Sister Porter, that we will be able to gain the things from their talks that thou would want us to learn and know this day. We ask thee to please bless those in our ward that are struggling or suffering or mourning at this time. Please help us all be able to know how to reach out to them and help them. And please help us each to be angels on thy errands, that we might be able to serve those around us. We are so grateful for this gospel and for temples and the knowledge of the plan of salvation and eternal families. We are so grateful that we're able to worship freely in this land. And we ask thee to please bless the missionaries and please bless our prophet and our church leaders. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Wagley. The following members have been released, and we propose they be given a vote of thanks for their service. Sister Tammy Hill as primary music leader, Rick Grapes as primary music leader, J.D. Ashman as a nursery leader, Mikkel Ashman as a nursery leader, and Connie Broadbent as an Activity Days leader. All those who can express or would like to express their appreciation to these individuals may do so by the uplifted hand. The following have been called, and we propose they be sustained and ask them to stand as their name is called. Connie Broadbent as a primary, I never should have doubted. He always gets it right. Okay, sorry about that. Connie Broadbent as a primary music leader, Tammy Hill as a Sunday school teacher, and Mikkel Ashman as primary worker. All those who can sustain these individuals and these callings, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, by the same sign. Thank you. We will be pleased today to first hear from Sister Madeline Buman. She will be followed by an intermediate hymn, number 255, Carry On, and our concluding speaker will be Sister Tina Porter. Madeline?
Like you said, my name is Sister Madeline Buman, and last week I returned from the California San Jose Mission, and I was called to speak in Spanish, and so I spoke Spanish, English, and a lot of Spanglish. My mission had 7 languages total, and it had a variety of groups, branches, and wards scattered throughout the area. We had all sorts of cultures and people that all came together, and it was wonderful to see how the gospel, regardless of where they came from, worked for all of them if they would apply the principles in their lives. And this happens because, as we learn in the family proclamation, all are beloved spirit sons and daughters of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny, and this includes each one of us. God's greatest goal is to bring his children home in glory, and he trusts us individually as members to help in this great work, and it's a great privilege and blessing. And I love the scripture in Alma that explains this a little bit more. It says, "Yea, he or she that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto him or her it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto him and her it shall be given... it shall be revealed things which have never before been revealed. Yea, and it shall be given unto him or her to bring thousands of souls unto repentance. Even it has been given unto us to bring these, our brethren, to repentance." But how do we do that? It's difficult to know what to say and when to say it and how to go about this great work. We know that God is at the helm, and so we can trust completely in his answers, but sometimes it's difficult to recognize those answers. Preach My Gospel teaches that the Spirit speaks quietly through your feelings as well as your mind. One great challenge for us and those we work with is to recognize the quiet, subtle promptings of the Holy Ghost. President Bednar has a 3-section Mormon message series in which he talks about how we receive this revelation through the Spirit. And he compares it to the ways that we receive light, because we know that God is light, and one of the ways he speaks to us is through following these patterns of light. One of the first patterns that he talks about is similar to receiving revelation like a light switch. You flip the light and instantly the room is filled. It's illuminated brightly and you know instantly, you can see clearly. This type of revelation is not very common, but in my first area, I remember that my companion and I had been driving, and it was late at night and we arrived in one of the poorer parts in our area to visit a member. And as we parked our car, we both looked up and instantly we knew that we should not be there. We didn't know why, but the feeling was indescribable and incredibly clear. There's very few times in my life where I've had an answer that clear, but I knew in that moment that we were not supposed to be there. And we didn't even have to speak to one another because this feeling was so strong and mutual between the both of us. And we immediately left the area. But this isn't the most common way that it happens. More often than not, the revelation comes more like a dawn breaking over the mountains, where little by little the darkness is dissipated as the light breaks and the valley is filled with light. This takes patience and time to learn, but eventually it is illuminated completely and you can see. In my second area, I was serving in a smaller city, and we were in a trailer park. We'd just visited an investigator, and it was about 8:55 at night. So for missionaries, that means you head back to your apartment because your curfew is 9. So with 5 minutes left, my companion and I had been tossing around ideas about about how the day had gone, and we had also been discussing about what it means to talk to everyone. Missionaries have a strict mandate to talk to every person, invite them all to come unto Christ. And that's easier said than done because there are a lot of people on the streets. So at what point does it become too awkward or too uncomfortable? Do you talk to the man who's on his phone who's running away from you? Do you talk to the woman who's 3 stories up doing her laundry? Do you just call out to her and try and get her to come down? Do you go the next block over when you see one man walking away from you? Where is that line? And so we've been talking about this and discussing it. And as we pulled out, I saw in the rearview mirror about 100 meters back a man walking into the trailer park. And I saw the words of Preach My Gospel in my mind. that said, talk with everyone. And in my heart, I just groaned. I was like, no, we're 5 minutes away, and it's going to be so uncomfortable. He's walking his dog, and he's far away. So we flipped our car around and drove, and then we parked, and then we had to chase him even more. And I saw the look in his eyes of fear of the two women in skirts with tags running across the street. What is going on? It's a very unusual sight. But it was inspired. We talked to Tim, and after about 5 minutes of intense discomfort and awkwardness as we tried to communicate our message, but he willingly gave us his address, and we stopped by the next week and gave him a Book of Mormon. Didn't really seem too interested, but we told him that we would come back. We came back a week later, and he told us that he was already in 2 Nephi 15. He would read for 3 hours a day, and then he would paint, and he would paint pictures of Christ the other time of the day. Then he would walk his dog, and then he would return home and read more. And while Tim, at the outset, I would have never placed him as someone who would have been interested in the gospel, it was very clear afterwards, just like the rising dawn, that the Lord had prepared him specifically to hear the message of the gospel. And today he will be baptized in about an hour, and I'm so grateful for Heavenly Father's promptings and for that light that I now can see clearly why we needed to turn around. The third way that President Bednar teaches that the light comes to us is often more like walking down the street on a foggy day. It's daylight, and so you can see a little, but you can see a couple steps, and you know clearly enough that it's not dark, but you can only go a few steps forward. And he asserts that this is perhaps the most common way that we receive revelation. We know that it might be good, but we're not exactly sure what specific steps we need to take. My last area was a very large area. It was the largest in the mission, and it took about an hour and a half to drive it top to bottom. As missionaries, you have very limited miles that you're allowed to drive in a month on your car. And so for us, it was essential that all of our appointments were set, very planned, and well organized so that we could use our miles to the best of our ability. However, as we had this limitation, my companion and I had arrived to the area. We were both new, and we didn't know anyone. And the former missionaries had not had anyone to leave us to teach, and so we just had a long ward list, which is really good, but also really hard because you don't know anyone on it. And because of the size of our area, it was extremely difficult to find them all. So my companion and I compiled a list of all the places that we had no idea where they were. And one of the areas was a very rural area. The houses are miles apart. It's out by a very distant Air Force base, an Army base, and many people don't spend the time to travel out there. We had a list of about 8 names, and the ward members told us they're not really interested. We've already tried, but you can go try anyways. So we conceded, and we had no plan. We had a list of names, and I remember walking out the door that day with my companion, just praying that Heavenly Father would do something with our day. Because it was 110 degrees and it was hot and we had nothing to do that was set. But we went on. So we went out to this road, it's called Argyle Road, and I remember that we knocked house after house. By our fourth house, no one had answered. It was so hot. My companion and I think out of frustration, we decided that we would just knock every single door. And so we got to one of the last houses and it had 5 doors on the same house. It's a little bit unfair, but we went and knocked them all, and after we were walking away 20 minutes later, rather disappointed, a very small woman opened the door and asked who it was. And delighted, we went up and said, oh, we're the missionaries, please, can we talk with you? And she said, oh, okay. So she let us in, and after a while, we began to teach her. And her daughter came in right as we left, her daughter Selena, who's about 40. Selena didn't seem interested either, but we said we would come back. We came back and we taught Selena, and lesson by lesson, she began to teach us the doctrine. I've never met someone who understood the atonement quite so well as Selena Castle. It was incredible. We never would have guessed that she was prepared, but she set her own baptismal date, and she has remained faithful in the church ever since. Her mother, who was the one who answered the door, our small friend, had been inactive for 40 years, and she is now attending church every week. And I know that it's through the grace of God that this has happened, and that through walking step by step into the fog, that we were able to find them. In addition, while we were teaching Selena, we knew that there was a family that lived down the road, and the members had told us that the family was not interested, that they had requested that we don't visit them anymore. So as a missionary, that's a pretty clear sign, but we decided that perhaps we should stop by anyways. I remember this time it was about 20 degrees outside because it was late at night and in the winter, and we sat on her front door porch and knocked and knocked, and she finally came to the door, and we went inside and we met Ailea, who's 13, and Talon, who was 9. Ailea and Talon were so excited to read the Book of Mormon. They were so ready. Talon would show us every day what he had been reading. And we came in and they'd already been reading. They'd already been doing all the things that they needed to do to be baptized. And as we talked with Ailea, we asked her if she would like to be baptized, and she said, "Yes, I've wanted to be baptized for so long. It's on my bucket list." And so we set an appointment for Ailea to be baptized 3 weeks from that day, and they were baptized. And while this story is incredible in and of itself of us being guided, my favorite part of the story is that after, we talked with Sister Carpenter and the Castles, and we realized that they both have extensive family lines that have no family searched on. They have none of their family lines connected to family search. And Sister Carpenter especially has already indexed and prepared thousands of names just because she enjoys family history. And so as Sister Carpenter came to church, she realized that all those names were potentials to go to the temple and be baptized. And so in that fulfillment of that scripture that I read at the beginning, that it shall be given unto him or her to bring thousands of souls to repentance, Sister Carpenter was the means of bringing thousands of her relatives to repentance, to give them the everlasting gospel. And I know that that is true because of the light that flooded into her life as her children chose to follow the Savior. It was such a blessing to be able to learn how to follow the Spirit a little bit more. It's tricky. It's not easy. I don't think anyone would concede that it is all the time. But Heavenly Father promises that he will guide us and that he will show us what we need to do and how to do it. Before I left on my mission, I remember debating greatly whether or not I should serve a mission. I think this is a common problem amongst most future sister missionaries and most young women, is do I go or do I not go? And I remember thinking a lot about it and doing a lot of praying and a lot of searching. And I found in DNC 4, it's a classic missionary scripture, and it says, if you have desires to serve God, you are called to the work. And I wanted to serve. I wanted so very much to serve, but I didn't know if that was what Heavenly Father's plan was for me, so to speak. But I remember flipping to Moroni 7, and it says, for behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and persuadeth to believe in Christ is sent forth by the gift and power of God. Wherefore you may know of a perfect knowledge it is of God. As our desires motivate us, I know that for me, as I made a list of the pros and cons of why not to serve a mission, it was very unbalanced. The pros far outweighed the cons. I couldn't find a good reason not to serve the Lord. And while that is not the case for everyone, I know that Heavenly Father does answer our prayers, and that as we faithfully seek to choose the right, to be instruments in his hands, that the light will come to us in whatever form he chooses to send it, perhaps through another person, and most often through our continued faith and diligence as we move forward, even though we may not see the exact outcome. I know that our Heavenly Father loves us, and I know that as his children, we are entitled to receive answers to our questions and our prayers. He wants so very much to communicate with us, and we are all individually important as well as collectively. And I know that one of my favorite scriptures is in Mosiah 16. It's Abinadi right before he dies. Abinadi, who never got to see any of the fruit of any of his labor. But he testifies in his closing testimony, referring to Christ, that he is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death. It was such a privilege to share this message with God's children throughout San Jose. And I know that he does care for his children wherever they are at. That no matter where we come from or where we have been, that it's infinitely more important to him where we are going and what we are becoming. And the final scripture, I love how Alma expresses his feelings to his brethren. He says, now, my brethren and sisters, we see that God is mindful of every people, whatsoever land they may be in California, Guatemala, Peru, Canada, the United States, Russia, Turkey, wherever it may be, and that he numbereth his people, and his bowels of mercy are over all the earth. Now this is my joy and my great thanksgiving, yea, and I will give thanks unto my God forever. Y yo sé que nuestro Salvador nos ama, que somos muy importantes a él y que él quiere que regresamos a su presencia, que su amor es infinita y él es algo que es infinita, que nunca se puede extinguir, que como sus hijos tenemos la oportunidad de atraer esa luz a los demás y para ayudarles a compartir sus testimonios y a encontrar esa luz dentro de sí mismos. And I say all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I should say I'm happy to get to stand up and speak, and there's a part of me that is, and the other part of me is not. But Sister Buman's talk, I really could just say amen and sit down. Our talks flow together so well. I just had to sit there in awe of how our Heavenly Father works. Was excited as I listened to her speak. I was asked to speak on a talk by Elder Kim Clark, Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. Before I start on that, though, I should probably introduce myself just a little bit. I'm Tina Porter. I married Randy last year in April and moved to Utah in August. And we have combined our families. He has four wonderful girls, and I have seven children. I have two girls and five boys. And my four youngest children are all boys, and they are the same ages as his girls. So we kind of have the Brady Bunch a little bit at home. A couple more. I think the Brady Bunch had six. But right now we have six. At home, three boys, three girls. Anyhow, they're a bundle of energy and lots of fun. So let me get into my talk, though, from Elder Clark. During Christ's mortal ministry, there were multitudes that heard his teachings and saw the miracles he performed and believed on his words. It was said of him, his fame went throughout all Syria, and there followed him great multitudes of people, so much so that just days prior to his illegal trial and crucifixion, he was even heralded a king as he entered into the city of Jerusalem. Yet, as we know, he had no political power. However, just as many as believed on his words, there were many that did not, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Why were there some that heard his words and saw his miracles and didn't see, yet there were others who heard saw the miracles and heard his words, and they did believe? Why did they have the eyes to see the miracles and the ears to hear the truth? Um, Elder Clark said that in some of the people that we have the most personal records about that believed on Christ's words during his ministry and witnessed his miracles were his apostles. And Elder Clark had this to say about those apostles. He said, quote, they struggled with worldly distractions, with confusions with what Christ taught, even fear. They believed in him, loved him, and still followed him. Of them, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. How can we claim those same blessings for ourselves, to have eyes to see and ears that hear? And I'm going to suggest that there's two ways. I'm kind of summarizing Elder Clark's talk. The first way to have eyes to see and ears to hear is through simple obedience to the doctrines of the gospel. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Christ teaches us this. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. What I want us to pay a little bit attention to, I'm going to read it again, but what I want us to pay attention to is the order in the way that we gain a testimony or knowledge. So listen to this again, this scripture. If any man will do his will, so action, obedience, if we will be obedient, he shall know of the doctrine. So that's when we gain our testimony. The obedience comes before the knowledge. Obedience to gospel doctrine precedes the knowledge of its truthfulness and value. If we want to gain a testimony of a principle of truth, we must first live it. If you've ever asked yourself questions like, do I really need to go to church every Sunday? Does it matter if I read my scriptures every day? Or maybe you might even be at the very beginning. Is the Book of Mormon true? We have to act on those questions first, on the doctrine that we've been taught. We have to read the Book of Mormon. We have to go to church every Sunday to gain that knowledge that comes after our obedience. Now, as a mom of several children, I've heard more than once, I don't even know if your church is true. And usually it's in response to having to go to church every Sunday, or maybe some rebellion out of having rules that are just stupid. And my response has always been the same, and that is, I believe you. I believe you don't know if the church is true. It would take personal desire and commitment and time and effort on your part to either read the Book of Mormon or do whatever it is that's required to gain that testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel. So whether we have this little flicker of faith or this burning fire of faith, at some point all of us have to act on the doctrines and principles of the gospel that we hear. And right now I have a daughter that's serving a mission in Chile. So it's so much fun listening to Sister Buman and her experiences. The neat thing about a mission is that your day's kind of outlined and structured for you. You have scriptures, you have prayer, and you have this much time dedicated to scripture study, and you have these worldly distractions that you're supposed to cut out of your life. And as those missionaries do that, you begin to see this great growth in them because they are doing those simple truths, obeying those simple doctrines that they've been taught. And my daughter, she recently in a letter talked about, as she watched General Conference, she felt impressed by, it was Elder Larry R. Lawrence's talk, and I just want to read you a quick quote out of her letter. She said, I had been looking for the way I could improve my spiritual well-being and all-around person. I'm doing a 35-day fast from the world, as I like to call it. 35 days, that's how many days are in the change, to be from all to be free from all worldly distractions. Sometimes I like to sing songs from Taylor Swift that I hear on the radio as I walk in the streets. I mean, that's normal and easy to just pick up, right? Sometimes people like to talk about movies they've seen or want to see when they get home. Who doesn't like to have a fun-filled conversation about little things like that? But as the talk was given this week, he said, we need to ask the Lord with humility, with a sincere heart, what is keeping us from progress, and wait in silence and listen for the answer to come. It was so clear of instructions for me. As I knelt at my bed that night, I asked, what is keeping me from progressing? I didn't feel as though I had received an answer, but as I thought about it, I did. It's the little things. Sometimes we think, oh, but a little of this and a conversation about a movie isn't going to hurt anyone. And you're right, it doesn't hurt anyone. What it hurts is your dedication to the Lord. I explained to my companion what I wanted to do, and she laughed and she said, but that's normal. Everyone does that. You hardly talk about those things. I wouldn't worry about it. It's true. I try really hard to do my best, but I know there's more to give. The Lord has said in Doctrine and Covenants section 4, verse 2, therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that you serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that you stand blameless before God at the last day. I only have 9 months left here in Chile to serve with all I've got. Not saying that I need to be a perfect missionary, but I can be the best hermana lesh there is. Sometimes we discredit the importance of the little things, but the little things are what make the big changes, as Lehi taught Nephi in Nephi chapter... For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from them that shall say we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. As we visited with Morgan at Christmas time, one of the questions she was asked is, what have you learned on your mission? And she said, I love the gospel of Jesus Christ now. When you love something or someone, you're willing to sacrifice and change for them. Elder Kim Clark stated this, we don't have to be perfect. We need to be good and getting better. We need to strive to live the plain and simple truths of the gospel. He promised that as church members pray, search the scriptures, keep the Sabbath day holy, partake of the sacrament, and participate in sacred ordinances, reach out to others, invite them to Christ, the Holy Ghost will come. He said, quote, simple obedience brings the Spirit into our hearts. And that leads me to our second way that we can have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that is to claim the blessing of the companionship of the Holy Ghost. When Christ was on the earth, even his apostles struggled with fears and doubts. If you remember, when the soldiers came to take Christ, his apostles fled. And although Peter followed behind, when questioned if he knew Christ, if you remember, he denied knowing him 3 times. But it was after the day of Pentecost, when they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that every one of those apostles was willing to die a martyr's death. And we have that same blessing given to us in our day and age. And not unlike the time when the apostles were on the earth and followed the Savior, we too can have fears and doubts and some confusion in our lives, but we've been given the gift of the Holy Ghost. The companionship of the Holy Ghost blessed those apostles with spiritual gifts and an abiding testimony in the face of severe trials. We too may have similar struggles or fear and doubt, but we have available to us this same gift and blessings as the apostles of old. Despite our individual challenges, having the Holy Ghost as a constant companion will allow us to have guidance, direction, and comfort in our lives on a daily basis. We claim that blessing as promised in the sacramental prayer, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. As we honor the covenant we made at baptism to always remember him, to keep his commandments, and partake of the sacrament, Elder Clark said, quote, if we will look to Christ and open our eyes and our ears, the Holy Ghost will bless us to see the Lord Jesus Christ working in our lives. A few years ago, I had a prompting to get a hold of a young mother who had four children and offer help to her. Let me give you a little what was going on in my mind as I received that prompting. Number one, I had met her one time. I had met her because my daughter had babysat for her they had a mutual friend. So there was a young woman in my ward who had a young family that gave this reference to this young woman and said, hey, this young girl could babysit for you and your children. She had babysat for maybe twice. And then we decided she cut hair. So she took me over, introduced me, and I got my hair cut. That was my only contact with this young woman. And I had been prompted to get a hold of her and say, I've been prompted to, can I help you? Okay, that is exactly how awkward I felt about it. I had met her one time, and I thought, I don't know what you think I'm gonna do. You think I'm just gonna walk up to her house and stand on her doorstep and be like, hi, I know I've met you once, but... Okay, so I kind of argued with Heavenly Father about that. I wasn't as good as this sister missionary who turned her car around right then. It took me about 3 weeks, and I'm not even exaggerating. So one day I was doing errands, I was on the other side of town, and was driving past her house, which I never did. I never did errands over there. And the impression came to stop right then and knock on her door and ask her if I could help her. So I did. Might I tell you that I still had the same angst, and I did it a little begrudgingly, and I thought, I'm gonna look like the biggest weirdo. But I went ahead and I stopped and I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and I want to tell you in her words what she said. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, wow, she's a hard nut to crack, I am, which should give you hope in why Heavenly Father is, he's very patient with us, and his grace is sufficient for all of us. He keeps working with me. I should probably tell you, you know why I was being so busy? I was getting ready to go to Time Out for Women. Yeah. There's a lot of irony in this. So I was getting ready to go to Time Out for Women, was prompted to stop at her house, knocked on her door, and this is what she said. I hadn't really told anybody about what I was going through, but I've been praying about it. I didn't really know what my next move was. I felt stuck. One day I was on my knees praying when there was a knock at the door. She literally had stood up from praying for help, and I knocked on her door. And so I came into her house, and we sat there and we talked for about an hour with all the struggles that she had been facing with her children. And I stood up to walk away, and the Spirit said, that's not why you're here to talk with her. And in my head, I went, so you expect me to turn around and say, oh, by the way, that hour conversation we just had, that's not what we're supposed to be talking about. So guess what I did, faithful me? I'm like, we'll try this again another day. And I left. You would have thought, oh, I didn't know at the time that she'd literally been praying for help. But if I had, I don't know, maybe it would have changed me to have a little more courage. But I left. And then for the next couple of days, I sat and went through my mind about, okay, how am I going to go back without coming off being like a crazy person and say, remember that conversation we had? Yeah, that's not what we were supposed to talk about. So I got distracted. A couple days went by, I was worried about it, and then I forgot because I got distracted with going to Time Out for Women. Got to Time Out for Women, was getting all settled in my seat, so excited to be there with my sisters and about 1,500 other women, if you've been to Time Out for Women, sisters. I looked up because there were some women trying to get down the row to be seated. It was her. It was her. She was seated right next to me at Time Out for Women. And we both, our eyes met, and we were surprised to see each other. And I thought, the Spirit prompted me again, okay, tell her that you're a counselor and that you felt that there was something else that you were supposed to talk about. So I did. And we began to meet several times after that. But isn't it amazing how the Lord is merciful to us? And he just continues to help us if we have the desire to do the right thing. Not that we always get it right. And sometimes we are, sometimes like Peter or Sister Porter, we kind of run the other direction for a while. This young woman had been really struggling with where to find happiness and had felt very confused and had a lot of significant struggles in her life. But at the end of our meeting and of this experience, she said this. She said, I was so very touched by this. I had heard of people who'd been helped by their Heavenly Father and had always believed that this was true. But to know that my Heavenly Father was looking out for me personally and sent someone I barely knew to come and talk with me about my personal struggles affected me to the very core. I felt like Heavenly Father had a personal interest in me. Me, I always believed it could happen to other people, never doubted that. But the fact that he was looking out for me and knew exactly what I needed, even more than I did, humbled me and strengthened my faith. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I felt very blessed to have the opportunity to be the one, the tool that was used in our Heavenly Father's hands. It strengthened my faith to know that our Heavenly Father cares for each one of us so individually. Elder Clark said, quote, if we look to Christ and open our eyes and our ears, the Holy Ghost will bless us to see the Lord Jesus Christ working in our lives, strengthening our faith in him with assurance and evidence, end quote. If you have felt the influence of the Holy Ghost this day as you've listened to Sister Buman or myself, would you be committed to acting on those promptings as my daughter did on her mission as she listened to Elder Lawrence and as we heard Sister Buman talk about as she felt inspired and prompted by the Holy Ghost? Those promptings are what will guide us back to our Heavenly Father. They are what it means to have eyes to see and ears to hear. I know that by living obedient to gospel doctrines and by claiming our blessings of having the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, we can have these eyes to see and ears to hear. And as Elder Clark said, we will come to have what the Apostle Paul called the mind of Christ. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sister Porter and Sister Buman, for those wonderful messages. We will close this meeting now by singing hymn number 250, We Are All Enlisted, following which the benediction will be offered by Brother Lynn Waite.
Thank you. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this sacrament meeting that we've just been a part of, and for Sister Buman and Sister Porter and sharing their experiences and thoughts with us of and we're thankful for the gospel. We're grateful for the great atonement that we are a part of and can understand, and we're grateful for the Book of Mormon and all the truth and knowledge that it brings to us too. We're grateful to be in such a great ward at this time, and we're grateful for our Bishop Brick and our stake presidencies and the leadership of the church. We ask you to bless them, and we also ask you to bless the members in our ward that have had losses, and we ask you to continue to comfort them and continue to guide them in the things they should do in their lives. We ask thee now to continue to help us to follow Christ and learn of this great gospel, and so that we might be able to build each other. We ask thee to also bless those that are teaching us this day and continue to direct them, and help us to have thy spirit to be with us. And we ask these things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.